So I'm sure you guys have heard the phrase used before, hey, y'all, watch this, right? Like, that's a familiar phrase to you. You probably may have even said it, some of you people in the room, but when you say, hey, y'all, watch this, you're about to do something real crazy, aren't you? Like, you're about to do something that is probably not the smartest thing, and you're probably going to end up pretty embarrassed. And some of you guys are like, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've done that. I did that today, probably, right? And I remember when I was in middle school, I was hanging out with some friends. We were at a buddy's house. His parents had gone, so we had like the house to ourselves. We could do basically whatever we wanted, and what we wanted to do was practice parkour, okay? Like, we were like, we're gonna parkour all over the place, and we barely knew what parkour was. Some of you guys still don't know what parkour is, but you basically, you know what it is? I could count on you. All right, so I'm like, dude, I'm gonna do the coolest trick, and I'm like running, and I run up, and we're inside the house. Like, we're not outside his house. We're in the house, like, we're sending it. And so I'm running, and I run up. I remember I'm going at the wall, and I'm in my brain going to do this Jackie Chan move, like from one of his movies where you like run up the wall and can like backflip off it and land. I'm like, this is going to be the coolest thing ever. I felt like I could do it. And so I start running, and as I go, I got a couple steps up the wall. I'm like, got this. Like, I'm done. I'm going to be the coolest guy in this room. And my foot goes into the wall about three steps up. Three steps up is too high for my other foot to now like land on the ground. So like when that foot goes through the wall and my body just starts to flop like a dead fish against the wall, I start to fall and my leg literally just gets caught in the wall and holds me up. And I'm just hanging from his wall with a leg in it, just like, ah, just like flapping everywhere, right? My friends are just like, you should never have told us to watch, you know, because that's how you like curse yourself. And so some of you guys, if we were to go around the room, would probably have some way wilder stories than that, I'm sure, because I know a few of y'all, and there's a lot of middle schoolers in the room. You do some crazy stuff. But here's why I tell you that wild story is that as we're going to open up the word today, okay, we're still in our series called The Family Plan, right? And we're still talking about relationships. Sometimes we do pretty dumb things. I don't know, maybe not you, but sometimes I do some pretty dumb things. And one of the main reasons we tend to do dumb things in life is a moment like that. A, hey, y'all, watch this moment. A moment where you're with friends and that peer pressure's coming and you're like, well, I better do something to impress the people around me. So I don't know if you're like that. I don't know if you've ever tried to impress someone, impress your friends. Maybe you're that guy or girl in class that's always having to say things and make jokes and like whatever, talk back to the teacher or do things so the class sees you and you get that laugh because you're like, sweet, I need to be that person. I need to be that personality in the group because I need that kind of affirmation, that applause from my friends. And we call that peer pressure. And so God does actually talk about peer pressure in the Bible. I don't know if you knew that, but remember, the Bible is our manual, right? This owner's guide to relationships between us and God and us and each other. And so God even talks about these kind of like, hey, y'all moments, because some of us literally live our lives in one big, long, hey, y'all moment. A moment where like your life is basically about just pleasing the people around you. And God has a few things to say about that, because we're going to look tonight and say, hey, God, did you actually design us? Is that the healthiest way for us to engage in our relationships? Or do you have a better plan for us than what we're calling peer pressure tonight? See, I was that goody-goody like in school. I was the one, I've told you guys before, I was the one that usually isn't the guy who's going to run up my friend's wall and put my foot through it. Like, that was so out of character for me. I was usually the one standing in the doorway looking out to see when the parents were coming back and like, guys, we're going to get in trouble. Like, let's not do this, right? Like, that was me. I was the one that was kind of like the downer all the time, that people were like, just get out of here because you're boring us, right? You're ruining the fun. And so for me to do that was so uncharacteristic of me. But the reason why I did it was because I was with a group of friends that I really wanted to impress. And that caused me to make some really bad choices. Listen, you guys are in the prime of life for that to happen. Like, there are things that are happening inside of your mind and your heart right now as you guys are reaching certain ages and developing and growing. You're becoming who you're going to be for the rest of your life. And in the process of that, you're looking for what we call identity. This is a natural thing. God has built you to be that way. And so right now, as you are discovering who you are and want to be, you might tend to ask that question, like, how do I impress the people around me? Because if my friends and the people around me tell me I'm a certain thing or a certain way, then I'll believe it and that's who I'll feel like I am. But you know what you're doing when you do that? You're allowing them to tell you who you are. You're allowing your friends to tell you how valuable you are. You're literally handing that price tag over and going, you can write anything you want on it. Whatever you decide is fine. As if they actually are qualified for such a task. You see, there's only one who could tell you what you're worth or who you are. And he's a lot bigger and a lot better than any friend that you have. The God of the universe who built you and created you and planned you out has a value. You are invaluable. You know what that means? You're priceless. You're worth the very blood of his own son that went to a cross. The blood of God paid for you. That's how valuable you are. And that's what God says about you. So before you go, hey man, peer pressure is the thing. Like I need to hear from my friends what they think of me. Before you do that, would you turn to him and say, hey God, what do you say about me? Who do you say that I am? How valuable am I in your eyes? Because see, this thing, this peer pressure, man, it will get you. It easily creeps in. All you have to do is hang out with people. Every time you're with someone else, there's that temptation to be like, what do you think about me? How valuable do you think I am? Where do I fit in my group of friends? Where am I on that kind of scale? You ever felt like there's like a scale in your friend group? Like you're either the one that gets made fun of all the time, picked on a lot, or you're the one doing it. Like it's kind of the scale system sometimes in group dynamic. God's like, stop asking that question. Stop caring so much. Stop having to be the cool guy or the cool girl in the group, because at the end of the day, when you're standing in heaven, God is not going to ask you that. Your friends aren't going to be there to be like, yeah, you're cool enough to get in. They won't have a say in it. You'll be standing face to face before the God of the universe, and he's the only one that's going to matter in that moment. And what your friends think doesn't matter to him. So stop living for them. Start turning to him and say, what do you think about me? Show me who you made me to be so I can be that person in my life. Listen, I love that you guys are discovering who you are. That's awesome, and you should be right now. But in that process, will you ask him to tell you who you are? Will you go to the only one that can actually give you that answer, to your God himself? And so let's talk a little bit about peer pressure tonight. Galatians 1:10 says this. Check this out. He says, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Let's dig this apart for a second, because he asks this really pointed question, right? It's so clear and like basically in our faces. Like there's no way around this question. Paul's saying, who are you living for? You hear it? For who am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Isn't that like exactly what we're talking about tonight? Funny how God wrote that in his like manual for us, this guidebook for us. It's right there. And he's asking you and me the question tonight. He's saying, who are you living for? Are you trying to seek the approval of the people around you in your class? Maybe the people sitting around you tonight in the chairs in Firehouse? The noisy groups? I want to ask you specifically, who are you trying to impress every time you interrupt God's word or worship to make the people around you laugh and distract them from the God of the universe that we're worshiping? At what point do we think we deserve the focus over an eternal God that we came here to worship, and instead we call for the attention from the people around us and say, look at us instead, worship us instead, laugh at us instead, stop worshiping the God of the universe that you came to worship. You see, it seems like no big deal. We're just at Firehouse. We're just chilling. But when you really look into God's word, he's like, it's a big deal, because you're saying you're worthy of worship more than he is. And he wants your attention. He wants your friendship and relationship. He wants to give you the love you're looking for. So stop living for other people and start looking at him. And Paul says, am I seeking the approval of man or God? Like, what is that? Every one of us needs to ask that question at some point in our life. And some of us need to ask it often. I find myself every day asking that question. All right, where am I right now? Who am I living for? Am I trying to do this because I want to look better to the people around me? Or am I trying to please God? When you stand on a stage, you have to immediately ask the question, am I on the stage for myself or for my God? When you lead worship and you sing or you play a guitar or you step on a sports field, you're asking the question, am I doing this for me or for man's approval, or am I doing this for my God? If you've never asked yourself the question, maybe tonight you should stop for just a second, even while I'm talking, just ignore me and sit with God and ask yourself that question right now. Whose approval am I seeking in my life? So Paul says next, he says, am I trying to please man? He wants us to really stop and like think about that for a second. Is it really man that I'm trying to please? So like, if so, like in what ways? What is it in your life? Think about it for a second. In your life right now, in what ways, because we all do this, in what ways are you trying to please the people around you? The things that you do, why do you do them? If you're someone who's like, man, I get good grades. I'm proud of my good grades. I work really hard. Why? Who are you getting the good grades for? For me a lot, it was my parents. It wasn't for God. It was because I wanted to keep my parents happy. I wanted to please them. I wanted to make sure my parents were proud of me. It was all about my parents until at some point I had to realize I wasn't going to answer to them when I get to heaven. I was going to answer to God himself. So think about the things you do, the things you say, the comments that you make, even the personality you're choosing to display to people, right? Like, why? Why are you doing it? Who is it for? Are you trying to seek the approval of man or of God? Who do you value the most? He says, if I were still trying to please God, to please man. Notice he says the word still. You hear that? He didn't have to say still. But you know what he's talking about? He's talking about when he was a Pharisee, not long before this. When Paul was literally going around, taking Christians, throwing them in pits, dropping these huge stones on them, locking them up in prisons, having them beaten because they were saying the name of Jesus. He was doing horrible things to people. And he said, if I was still trying to please man, so he's telling us something here. You know why he did all those horrible things to people? He was trying to please man. His colleagues, his Pharisees, the other influential people of his time, he wanted them to notice what he was doing. And he thought, if I hurt these people, I'll prove that I'm actually like someone that you shouldn't mess with. I'll prove that I'm someone who deserves respect. I'll prove that I'm a good Pharisee and a good Jew. And he was trying to prove himself to these people around him by doing horrible things. Listen, you're like, that is so far from me. No, it's not. That's called human nature. That's called something every single one of us finds so natural to do. We hurt the people around us to try to gain respect. We've done it since we were little kids, and we'll have that inside of us, that desire inside of us naturally until the day Jesus takes us to heaven and makes us perfect. It's not too far away from you. Who are you hurting today without even maybe recognizing you're doing it? Maybe it's in such kind of what you would call a small way that you don't even realize it's something you do, but you're hurting the people around you, trying to impress, trying to gain respect of man. That was Paul's story. That's what Paul admits to us. He confesses it here. He's like, I'm not pointing my finger at you, telling you how perfect I am and how horrible you are. He's like, look at my life. I made the mistake. Don't do it. Don't make the same mistake. I was living to please man, and it was horrible, and I hurt people in the process. And if I were still living that way, listen to what he says. He said, I would not be a servant of Christ. You see, that's incompatible. It doesn't fit with being someone who follows Jesus. That's just not how Jesus lives or acts, and it's not how we're called to live or act. Christ did not die on a cross so that we could go hurt people and try to gain the affection of man. He did it so that we could come to him and sit at the feet of God. But it's up to you to make that choice. Whose attention are you seeking? Whose respect do you want? Paul says, I never would have been a servant of Christ if I had still been seeking man's attention, because you see, the servants of Christ, they look for God's attention and his affection and his approval. They take their lives and lay it down at God's feet and surrender and say, God, I recognize I'm broken and I need you for anything and everything I do. So let me just be yours. Sometimes that surrender is really, really hard for us. And you might find it hard too. Maybe it's a reason why some of us haven't done it yet tonight. Maybe God's calling you tonight to take your heart and say, God, I give it to you. I surrender my life. I'm done living for the approval of other people and to make myself look great. I want you to be glorified. I mean, after all, you're the God of the universe. You deserve it. What if God changed your heart tonight, even as we sat here, caused you to see him in a different light, in a way that said, I don't choose myself or man. I choose him above all else. Look with me at Luke 16, verse 15. Jesus says this here. He says, and he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men. But God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. That's a big word, but I think you guys understand what some of these words mean, as big as they are here. And what he's saying, as Jesus is looking out over these people, he's saying, this is what you're doing. You're trying to justify yourself and look good in front of other men. But God can look straight into your heart. God knows the motives of your heart. God sees what it is that you're doing. And as these Pharisees are mocking Jesus, he's looking out going, listen, like, you guys are living for yourselves and God knows it. You're not fooling anyone, especially not God. And the funny thing is that when you and I live for other people, people notice. It's pretty obvious to everyone but us. We think like, man, people don't even see it, but I'm really like getting cool in my group and people like see how like I'm this awesome person they should look up to. And actually people are looking at you going, man, you're trying so hard. You're trying so hard to get everybody's attention and you're hurting all the people around you with your gossip and the words that you say and your cold heart. Like, people see it, but we don't necessarily know people are seeing it. And God's like, you know who actually sees it? I do. So even if no one else notices, God is looking directly to the motives of your heart. Now, if you don't care about God, you don't care about what I just said. But if you're here tonight and you're like, I love God and I want to follow Jesus, then listen up. You should care about what I just said. God knows the motives of your heart. And I'm not coming to you like some weird old school person, like, God knows what you're doing. And that's not what I'm trying to say. But Paul's pretty clear. You could try to fake everybody out and God's still going to know what your heart feels and what your motivations are. So why bother? Why waste your time? Why not sit before this God that you claim to love and actually have a genuine relationship with him that will grow and flourish and be so amazing? Instead of just trying to fake it and trying to live some other thing that's never going to be real, that's never going to actually fulfill you because it can't. Stop living for men's approval. Stop caring so much about what your friends want and doing what they ask you to do or expect of you. And start turning to God and saying, you already know what's in me, so you know what? I'm yours. Do what you will with me. He says, God knows your hearts. And then he says this, he says, for what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. You realize that most of what this world actually values, actually expects of you, is what Jesus is calling an abomination. An abomination is like the most horrible thing you can picture, right? Like, it's absolute tragedy and sin and horrible and destruction. Abomination is this thing you do not want in your life. And Jesus is like, it literally dishonors God in every possible way. And those are the things man wants from you. And listen, come on. You already know this. You guys know when you're being asked to do something that dishonors God. You guys can feel it in your heart when you're offered that thing from your friends that you know immediately because you feel that check from the Holy Spirit that's like, don't say yes, don't go there, don't do that. Don't take that from them and try it. Don't step into that situation. Like you hear the Holy Spirit speaking, right? And you're like, I already know. So I'm not preaching anything new to you tonight. Like, you know. Those things are an abomination. What man values, sex and money and drugs and sports, alcohol, all these things they put up on this like pedestal as if they're gods and more important than God himself. This stuff that's supposed to bring us pleasure. Being the funniest person in your group or the most popular or the best looking or all these things that we tend to fight for, right? God's like, it's worthless trash that dishonors me because you're treating it like a god and an idol in your life instead of looking to the one that actually is worth it, to Jesus himself. So who are you living for? There's so many that walk to church, walk into church. They claim the name of Jesus. They read their Bible. They sing their worship. And in their hearts, there's something totally different living in there. There's this hidden world that we have where we hide all of our sin and all of our those things we don't want anyone to know about. Like if your closest friends knew some of the deep, dark things inside of you, they probably would never want to speak to you again. And so we try to hide it. And what Jesus is saying is, God already knows it. He hasn't left you. He hasn't abandoned you. And as a matter of fact, already knowing those things, he decided to die for you. He decided to still love you so much, he would go to a cross and give his own life for you, knowing those shameful, horrible sins that you think you have hidden that he can see so clearly and still chooses you. Why wouldn't you choose Jesus? Why would you not want him to take you, to mold you, to grow you, to look like him? Why would you choose to let your friends decide who you're going to become? See, sometimes we have this standard in our head, right? We don't have the same standard that God has. We see things differently. I think of it like this. I went golfing once with somebody. Some of you guys still know Justin Cowart, who used to work here. He's a guy with big trucks that drives in once in a while and used to be an intern at Firehouse. And him and a couple buddies, we all went golfing. And some of our buddies are like really, really good at golf. Like they were on the golf team. They're like awesome. And so they get up and they're hitting the ball and it's like, psh! It's like these perfect shots, right? Like golf is the most frustrating game in the world. And so Justin gets up and he thinks like he's an athlete. He was like the quarterback of the team and like all this stuff. Like he was like Mr. Sports, Mr. Coordinated, gets up there. He goes and he hits the ball and it like the dude hits the ball and it just goes off into nowhere. He hits it again. He's hitting grass. It's like flying up. He's getting more frustrated. And he gets up to the, like, he basically hits the ball right next to this big lake, just about goes in the water. And he's like in the middle of nowhere. He's like, how am I ever going to get this ball out of here? And he goes and he swings. And the next shot just like did him in. He hits the ball. It goes straight up in the air, hits a palm tree, bounces back over his head backwards, straight into the pond. And like, you should have seen the dude's face. He just like throws his club, like everything you would, admit it, like you would probably do the same thing, right? I knew what he felt in the moment because I was just as bad as him. But to see these two guys, right? The first guy gets up and it's like this perfect shot. And then to see Justin, who thought he was good, like I'm an athlete, like I'm going to do awesome. I'm coordinated. I can do all this awesome stuff. His definition of awesome was pretty different from what these other guys knew was awesome in the game of golf. And sometimes we do the exact same thing with God. We're like, I think I'm awesome. I'm doing great. My life is wonderful. I'm living for you. I go to church. I do these things. And actually God's definition over here of what actually honors him, we're not even asking that question. We're not even saying, hey, God, what would honor you? Hey, God, what do you want for my life? Instead, we're asking our friends and our families and even ourselves and just kind of living on this own definition that if we were to hold it up next to what God actually has planned and wants for your life, man, it would look so different. It would look so different. Your definition would be so lacking. And Jesus is saying, God already knows. Would you just surrender to what he's got in store for you? I got another verse I want to show you. It's James 2:1. James 2:1 says this, my brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. You know that word partiality basically means like favoritism. It says, don't show favoritism. What was happening was they were showing favoritism among the church. Some people were getting like special treatment while others were treated poorly just for their personalities or who they were, or like whatever other reasons man could come up with, but they were earthly reasons. They didn't fit in the right group. And so they weren't being treated fairly the way God would have them be treated. You know why? Because they weren't being treated the way God saw them. They're being treated the way man saw them. So if you're letting man, your friends, look at you through their eyes and tell you how much you should be worth and what your value is through their eyes, they're going to get it wrong every time. God said, you need to see it through my eyes, because that's the only way to see the value of the people around you. So maybe tonight you're like, I'm not the one tonight that's like trying to fall in for peer pressure and all that. Maybe tonight you're the one that's imposing the peer pressure. Maybe you're that ringleader in the group who's showing partiality to the people around you, who's judging the people around you, who's looking at someone saying, you're not as valuable as I am because of this, this, or this. I'm looking at your life and that's not as appealing as my life, so you're not as good as me or the people around me. Maybe some of us in the room tonight need to stop and confess to Jesus that we're trying to tell other people what their value is without looking through the eyes of God. We're trying to be the judge of their value. And he says, as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Do you know that God is the King of glory? You know what glory means? It's like, it's worth. It's value. The fact that God is worth more than anything in all of creation means he has the most glory. But listen, if anyone's going to make a value statement, it should be the God of all glory, the one who is the Lord of worth and value. Shouldn't we be turning to him? The last verse I want to share with you tonight is Philippians 2:3, because in this verse, Jesus gives us the most incredible picture of how we should live. If you believe these things, here's what you do, all right? This is where you go from here. This is what Jesus did. This is what we should do. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself. How often do you look at other people and value them above yourself? Put them first. Put their needs first. Take a position of humility in your life and say, how can I serve you and love you? What can I do for the people around me to lift them up instead of tear them down? Even if it means it's going to cost me something, if I'm going to have to give something up or sacrifice for it, like, would you be willing? You're like, why would you even ask me that, Rob? That seems like a really personal question. Here's why I'd ask you that. Because your Savior, if you confess Jesus as your Savior, that's exactly what he did for you. And now Jesus is looking at you and saying, it's your turn. The same way I did that for you. Paul in this chapter says, let that same mindset of Jesus be in you. Have humility and count others more valuable than yourself. There's this pastor, his name's Charles Stanley, old guy, he's been a pastor for a long time. And he says this, I want you to hear this quote. He says, people who constantly and fervently seek the approval of others live with an identity crisis. They don't know who they are, and they're defined by what others think they are. Listen, if tonight we're sitting here and we're thinking, man, what my friends and what the people around me tell me about my worth and who I am, that's what really matters. You are in the middle of an identity crisis tonight. You have no idea who you are. How can I say that authoritatively, even if some of you I don't know? Well, because the truth is, God knows who you are. God knows who you are. Of that, I can say confidently, because God has already made you and determined who you will be. And so when you're looking at other people going, hey, tell me who I am, you're literally just telling God you don't care what he thinks. The one who made you. So here's my challenge to you tonight. Would you stop? And would you just look to God and say, tell me who I am? Even right now, would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? And would you ask him that question? Say, God, please show me my value. Show me who I am. God, who did you create me to be?